Hi, Stephen. Hi, Kelvin.
Yeah.
Here we are to get
Hello.
together and talk a bit about the quantum economics. And for today, Stephen, you've thought up a topic that you would like to address. So I'd like to ask you to briefly introduce that so that we can then see how we can build that up and come to greater ideas about that. Somebody's microphone is rattling a bit.
That's probably me.
Okay.
I can try to hold it a little bit more fast.
Yeah,
I can start about at first what also would like to address your paper that you were sending.
Okay.
About the topics, and then I moved to the this foundation of mathematics, so I studied a little bit into the T-theory a little bit more, and maybe then we can start to go ahead with these things. So I have, concerning this pattern recognition, you wrote very good, this is a psychomental process of cognition. So I absolutely agree to the point. Then the spiral dynamics, I can also agree, like we can call it maybe holocyclicity or something like that, holocyclicity, that also refers to T-theory, so it scrolls to T-theory. Then this money thing, this we can, hidden contract is a good formulation, but maybe we can also add something like impersonation. So the impersonation, that impersonation is being legalized. How this evolved is another topic. And then the social states in your paper, this is, I think, about meta activity. So this, what all these activities are about, how they, this also refers again to the T theory, to the geometry of energy. Maybe it's also possible to document in equilateral triangles. And as I understood also from T theory, that the units of time do not matter. So geometry dictates the math and the physics, and it equals force. So this is what I understood. So it equals force. Afterwards, I come to the question for the visual models. So the other, there are also some other details in your in Otto's paper from this boson photon fields, so other quantizing energy fields. And I understand it this way. And the Bessel equation is, in my opinion, about the self-resonance of systems. So it's self-resonating systems, like when it's, the water is distributed in a bassin or in a pool, which is in a cycle. So about the Fiedelmann, Uri Fiedelmann, there is interesting again that there is he distinguishes brain time and physical time in his work. So he makes a clear distinction between the time that happens in the human brain and which maybe happens outside in the outer world. There is no simultaneity in his theory. Pibram is known to many. It's about the holographic or holonomic wave propagation in the brain. So it was a very new theory, although the man got very old. He's still alive and is 95. And this is about the wave propagation in the brain. So the wave propagation in the brain, according to Fiedelmann, would not be the same wave propagation than in physical time. So I saw two distinct categories. And then the vortex topic, so which is again related to the tetrion. It means that the streamlines are spirals. So this is how I understood your paper. So this is the content of your paper. And through this monetary thing, I found interesting maybe citation from Geoffrey Vickers. He wrote a book in 1970. It's called Freedom in a Rocking Boat. And he says, there's a citation like, the nature of the trap is a function of the nature of the trapped. The nature of the trap is a function of the nature of the trapped. And I have studied intensively again into this foundation of mathematics video from T-theory. And as you know, I have always tried to visualize these economic cycles. And as you know, there are a lot of types of cycles. And I believe, so it's only belief, that maybe it is possible to, as geometry equals force in T-theory, time doesn't matter in first instance, so it's maybe possible to visualize economic cycles with T-theory. I think it's possible. Of course, I am not an expert in that, and this is more from the perspective, of course, of the natural science, or as Calvin has been an engineer. Okay, this is a different way of thinking, but I think I have grasped the possibility for a model. So I think a model is possible.
Yeah,
and one, please. Yes?
Calvin,
I was just saying, I believe so too. I think we can definitely model some of these functions that appear in economics via geometry, which will give us a faster processing and an intuitive feel for what's going on.
And then we don't need all these equations, and we don't need this all, have not go this long road. And this is also, Poya was a mathematician, and he always said that you should try to find the simple pattern at first, and not the complicated one. You try to find the simple pattern, and afterwards we can build up the complex reality, like in fractal, like this fractal research from Mandelbrot. It's the same. You have some self-similar structures, and but you can build up complex structures out of them. So I think it's also interesting what I found from people from a University of Texas. They also work on long wave rhythms, and they even say here in this article, it's not so important now, all detail, they say in this article there's evidence in their research on exogenous pacemaker, like a so-called Zeitgeber, and they even claim here, they claim it, that some cycles coincide with lunisolar maxima. So that even many cycles have even lunisolar constellations. So that's one point, which I found very interesting. The other things I was sending to you some articles. This is mainly from this Russian approach to model big history. So they try to model the big history, and of course, this cannot be done without the economic records we have. And of course, our monetary system does distort the, I would call, natural harmony of economic cycles. So there is a natural harmony of economic cycles, but our monetary system distorts the cycles. This can also be, there are also other articles in that almanac. And on many pages, if you read through the whole almanac, I was sending you a PDF, and there was some connection to this website. You can see that there are many researchers, they have found puzzle pieces only, but it really seems to be a geometric, possible to visualize it in a geometric manner, like you, Calvin, for example, showed in your videos. That's what I have to say at this time. So it's maybe one point more, that when I was writing my book, I also, this one book that I sent to Otto about the ethical economic science, I already proposed also in that book that we need 3 or 4D models, that we cannot model. Of course, we can do accounting in one dimension. This is a normal thing. Or two-dimensional is also possible. But if we really want to build and maybe to a general public, to educate a general public about economic cycles, then we will need something like T-theory as a method. That's for sure. Yeah. Otherwise, it will remain in closed circles. It will the knowledge will remain in closed circles because very few people at first like to read lengthy articles. That's a very important point. And in second place, our brain works by visual perception in first instance. So this would be my introduction.
Very good, thank you. Calvin, before I would like to ask you to respond on this, let me just give my perspective that you can take that into mm-hmm. account in your response as well. Stephen, thank you very much. You presented a couple of ideas together, which for me translate as, okay, in the economic system, money plays a predominant role. Yes. However, the role of money also distorts the system and also distorts our perception of the system.
Yes.
In describing the models, we can use traditional physical models and descriptions. On the one hand, we know that these are created by science to describe objective observations of objects, which is what classical physics does. But at the same time, we are aware that in fact these are models that we create by our own mind. Which means that when we look at economics, we have a difficulty. Because we are looking at something which is actually artificial. We look at something which is determined by money, based on money, calibrated by money, and described as money. So basically we're looking at a distorted image. When we look at a distorted image, we have the language of science and physics with mathematics as part of that story. On the other hand, we have our mind, which is not well described in science, even in cognitive science, there's very great limitations to that, which brings us back to the question, which also was the basis of our exploration now together. Is it possible to find connection points in tetrionic theory, how do you call it, T-theory, so that we can look at that from a different perspective? I would just like to leave my reflections on that at that for the moment, so that Calvin, maybe you can see how this calls up ideas within your mind, so that we can explore what ways we can open up for quantum economics.
Okay, Otto, you know me well.
Yeah.
I love getting into challenges like this. This is the bread and butter of what I like about physics. That's what drove me to develop tetrionics, because I looked at the current problems they had and felt that there had to be another driving mechanism unseen to us underneath it that gave us the results. And obviously, while the math is ultimately pattern recognition, and it's pretty good, It pales by the visual method of geometry. And what I saw, just quickly looking at the notes from yourselves, was, and I've still got to get my head around a lot of these connections with the economics, because I haven't looked closely at economics myself, although I've got some passionate views on it, similar to yourselves. In a nutshell, we can convert the pattern recognition that the math equations give us. We can do it in physics, so there's no doubt that we can do something similar in economics. It may be a slightly different geometric explanation, but if we can equate Newton's laws to spirals and Fibonacci curves, etc., and if we can equate scalar energy distributions, Planck quanta, to normal distributions and other distributions that occur, obviously we can then use what I've developed in physics to map directly back into the economic cycles and the economic statistics. The statistics sides of physics is pretty straightforward. It's just a normal distribution. But Otto will probably get his head around this pretty quick when he hears what I'm about to say. In tetrionics, I view the force, Newton's force, mass by acceleration, as a vector force, a straight line. They're pink arrows in T-theory. Think of them as a piece of string. We can obviously map a normal acceleration curve or any form of acceleration curve, straight lines, curved lines, all that sort of stuff that Newton did in calculus and integration, differentiation, we can do using tetrionics, using these pink arrows. If you think of them as a piece of string anchored on one end and then with a pencil on the other, as you rotate that string, you can either draw a circle, or if you vary the length of string, you can create a whole heap of different spirals. And this is what's missing in physics. They're missing this connection between the arrow of the vector arrow of momenta that draws these curves and the 90 degree phase changed or translated scalar energy that creates that force. So if we can, my approach would simply be to look at the curves, the distributions, and equate distributions to Planck quanta, N, H, nu, which is a scalar energy, equilateral geometry, and then the vector square root, the linear momentum, which is that arrow I was talking about, the piece of string. If we vary the energy content and the associated linear momentum, we can draw any pattern we want. All the patterns in physics come from this simple relationship, the scalar energy versus the square root linear momentum. So we can do simple harmonic motions like we do in photons, sine waves, etc. We can then superposition them to create Fourier waveforms, Schrodinger's wave equations. All that complex math comes back to a simple geometry. I've already got all those drawings there. Otto's seen some of them, but they're all in the work, right through to Euler's equation. So we can definitely map Fibonacci's curves, Fibonacci spirals. We can do all that using these square root vector forces. I don't see any real problem. It just comes down to getting my head around these distributions of energy, the statistics side of the economics. We can replace the math with a geometry, which then makes it visual. And as you say, tetrionics is a, even though it's got a time component in there, it's basically a instantaneous measurement of a system, a snapshot, just like Newton's momentum. And as the time ticks through, we've got different slices of momentum in a, a graph of acceleration. It produces the graph, but they're all slices. That's where calculus comes from. Tetrionics just spins that around a little bit geometrically, but we can either look at an instant in time to see how the forces or the economic forces are affecting the entire system, what action will be produced, or we can take a series of these measurements of different interacting forces, and then we can make a predictive study moving forward. It's the old story, the devil's in the detail, because I can't remember who said it, but if you have enough data about a system, you can model where it's going to go. And that's what tetrionics is all about. So there's a whole heap of new stuff I've begun to apply my mind to in the last week or so, as Otto knows, as he prompts me with different questions and stirs me along. And there's a lot coming out of that that I haven't even seen in my own work. So I see this is just another extension of that.
Kelvin, can I just connect up to that? Stephen, you might like to see the pictures, the images that Calvin created of the distribution integral functions. Basically, triangles connecting up to form the curves that we all know, the Gaussian curves. Wonderful, Calvin. Stephen, when you look at that, you actually see something which recently I discovered that Euclides already described in a book which had been written over by something else. So they rediscovered that. Calvin rediscovered that. And what Calvin just addressed is that in economics, they have taken over a lot of the mathematics which in physics was introduced to basically compensate for uncertainty. So when you look in physics, the Heisenberg uncertainty led to a different approach in which the outcomes replaced the actual understanding of the process, and statistics came to replace the clear, clean mathematics. In tetrionics, as Calvin already prompts here, the Heisenberg uncertainty principle does not play a role, for the simple reason that when you start with a Planck quantum, you can see how a Planck quantum works, and it is evident that Calvin found out that the basic principles of the Planck quantum do include electric and magnetic and dynamic properties, which together create a geometric principle, because by the geometry of the Planck quanta, basically Calvin was able to recreate all the findings of physics to show what everybody knows already, but now coming from, as he explicitly states all the time, the bottom-up approach. And I think that the main interest for me, in any case, and I assume for both of you too, is that in the interaction between the three of us, we can create a bridge between the kind of economics that has been come in vogue in looking at the money system. But we need to take into account that the mathematics which was used there was derived from a physics which basically was trying to reconstruct an understanding lacking a real foundation and a real basis. So what we are doing is a kind of double take on the story, that on the one hand we have an economic system which uses mathematics which stems from physics, which is based on an incomplete understanding of the physical reality of nature. But on the other hand, we now have Calvin's wonderful work on tetrionics, starting with the quantum, the Planck unit as a geometry, and thereby having demonstrated that this approach works wonderfully well in physics. And Stephen, just to keep you, bring you up to date on that, in the interviews with Calvin, of which there are very many now, it is very clear that tetrionics does recreate what physics has found, but is able to replace a lot of the, let's call it, compensational, ad hoc, improvisational mathematics by something very much more simple, which is the geometry of the Planck unit. And maybe it would be practical if I could ask you, Stephen, to reflect on what we've just brought up. We started with your positioning of a question. Can we describe what happens in the financial system by tetrionics instead of the mathematics of physics? And as Calvin already said, he loves to be inspired to see what works, because when he worked with the Planck unit, he basically discovered that it showed him how to work it. He didn't have anything else to guide him but the logic that was implied in the Planck triangle, the equilateral mm-hmm. triangle and the geometry that came out of it. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. Calvin is full of confidence that he can do it for the simple reason that the logic explains itself. But the question, of course, is also, mm-hmm. which makes it much more fun for us and also mm-hmm. much more fun for Calvin, can mm-hmm. we do it? Stephen, can you and I play with the tetrions and the triangles and see mm-hmm. how far we can get mm-hmm. on understanding what tetrions could do for economics? And this is where mm-hmm. I'd like to ask you, Stephen, to react to that. Mm-hmm. I know that in a way mm-hmm. I'm kind of a translator mm-hmm. between the two of you. Mm-hmm. With Stephen posing a question mm-hmm. and Calvin exploring an answer and me having the implied understanding that yes, it should work.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen, can you take that from
so
here?
I can try. I think the most interesting point in such a model, in such a visual model using T-theory would be the modeling of the long wave clock. So we have long wave rhythms, and the most interesting would be to model the long wave clock of these long wave rhythms. Especially you can, for example, model the relationship of inflation waves between the long wave clock, or you can model the technological innovations that happened. So there are special periods of technological innovations. Then everybody can do this with a mouse click and can look into economic cycles, and you can see that there are a lot of types of cycles being introduced: Kuznets cycles and Juglar cycles, Kondratiev cycles or waves. And all of these cycles point to something like a hidden rhythm mm-hmm. or something like a hidden dynamics, a hidden force. And so you can actually integrate all these different cycles. So interlocked, you can say that it's a long wave clock, it is interlocked. And like technological revolutions transform the economy, and they happen in peaks. And this, I think, would be the best application for T-theory. So this is, in my opinion, the best way how to try it. So it would mean that we have the technological innovations. We can also, of course, look at the inflation waves. I think all these cycles that anybody can assess with one mouse click, they are interlocked and building a set of cycles. And this is maybe possible to model, to build a visual model by T-theory.
Can I just respond to that, Calvin, before you pick that up again? Stephen, what you're addressing mm-hmm. now is something which mm-hmm. is very different than physics. Mm-hmm. And that's also why I'm really hopeful that we can bring something out of that. The mm-hmm. reason why I'd like to pick up on this is so mm-hmm. that you, Calvin, can know a bit more about what Stephen and I already discussed. Mm-hmm. In the interview which I did with Stephen, it is very clear that he looks at the economic system on the one hand by the terminology of mathematical physics, quantum theory, as it is commonly known now. But on the mm-hmm. other hand, he is also very well aware that whatever we experience within our life is also something that we experience in our body. And in this case, of course, it comes closer to it that we have a theory of physics, but we also need to understand the processes mm-hmm. in our mind. And mm-hmm. Stephen has a lot of understanding into that from the old mysticism. So mm-hmm. that we can actually open up the scope, but It would help to make very clear that when we are dealing with money, we are on the one hand dealing with a quantitative measurement of the exchange of goods under contract between people, but on the other hand we are also dealing with the illusion of money and the superstition of banking and the way a small group of people, the bankers, is actually manipulating the mind and belief system of the rest of humanity. So there is a difference between physics and economics, in that physics is supposed to be a mere description of reality as we look at it, and the scientists always pretend that they are not part of the equation. But the fun part of looking at economics is that we know that the scientist always does form part of the equation, and in banking we explicitly know that this is the case. So I'd like to ask you, Stephen, to add a bit more of your perspective on how the artificial creation of money and the artificial manipulation via money comes into play in the way you look at economics.
Yeah, okay. So my first perception is that you have actually, if you look in, into human history, you have not a natural harmony of cycles, this would be too much, but something like a natural rhythm of economic cycles. You can look 50,000 years is a long time, but you can measure some technological stages, etc., etc., etc. Then 5,000 years before, it started that money came into the marketplace, and since then cycles have become shorter, in even more and more shorter. So what is the what we have today? That okay, insurances are working differently, or private wealth managers. But what we have today is that private banks are issuing money that actually does not exist. They are creating it out of thin air. This comes into circulation. So we have also here the consumer who always wants more. So to take into account these many, many people who want goods and consumer goods. So this terrible materialism, you have also to take in account. So what I said about the nature of the trapped, and the nature of the trap, and the nature of the trapped. And then, of course, this has to be counted. And therefore, the central banks have been invented. Something like this is the accounting unit calculation. So these central banks have to some way to sum it up, and there from all this issued credit, so they have to account it, and then economy becomes into a planned economy, something like what you can call today, what we have today is capitalist planned economy. So it's a really, it's a paradox, actually. We have, it's actually a paradox, because you think it works about markets, but this system, how it works, like private banks issue the credit, so this money does not exist, then it has to be some way accounted. This is done by central banks. And then you have to, of course, plan the economy, something like a capitalist planned economy. And this is this, of course, ruins and will ruin within a very short time, within 10 or 20 years, it will reach the biophysical limits. And this does mean that we're getting more and more ecological damage. Because this alchemy of the mathematics, mathematical finance, does not work in biophysics. There are biophysical limits of that. So this is a main distortion. The distortion is that there are no narrow reserves. So the reserves are not narrow, but insurance companies, there are insurance companies that work with narrow reserves, and of course private wealth managers will do everything to manage your wealth with narrow reserves. They will do it so that the next generation can inherit a lot of capital. But in the public sector, we have this system that credit is issued. It's not covered by nothing. It's created out of thin air. Then you have something like this accounting unit, the accounting unit of last, I don't know, of last
resort.
Yeah, resort. Very good. Thank you very much. Of last resort. And then, of course, your politics has to step in and has to plan the whole thing. This is the main problem, though. We have ended up in a planned economy. So these are two things. There are the cycles. On the other hand, you have economic cycles. These are, of course, embedded in nature. You cannot cut yourself off. But then you have this, if you want, artificial factor and of issuing something into circulation that does not exist. It has to be accounted by some institution of last resort, and then you come more and more into planning, and this planning will this type of planning leads even more to the this ecological damage that we are seeing everywhere.
Yeah, wonderful. Kelvin, could you reflect on that? Because a part of what Stephen has just said is so similar to the difference between mass and matter. That money is actually not real. It is a force. It is a driving force. And so essentially, Tetrionics does have a tool for that. I'm quite aware that we are now doing a simple exploratory conversation. Basically to see what we can go into as a follow-up in future conversations. So, Kelvin, it would be really nice, of course, if you had the immediate, simple, straightforward answer. Say, well, it is this slide and that slide. You combine them and replace forces by money and you have it. But for now... We would get out of the mess straight away. But for now, it would be more at the level of helping everybody understand how it is possible to rethink this series of questions, this domain of questions, to what you would look at from the point of view of Tetrionics. I hope that you would be able to sort of explore some of the ideas that come up in translating the ideas that Stephen just presented, and sort of find a way where we could go with this exploration in the future.
Easy. I'll try and walk you through it as I see it now. The tricky part will be looking at the market forces. If you just use, for lack of a better one, Newton's equation, F equals ma, it produces under varying forces. If the force varies in a cyclic amount up and down, it produces a sine wave. So if you look at the long waves, they're basically a sinusoidal wave form. And then if you vary the force, you're going to affect that sine wave. If you look at F equals ma as force equals mass of matter, technical trying to dive into that with you at the moment, but if you can exchange mass or matter in this case, but just the amount of a market, swap mass for a market, whether you think of it as China or Japan or Uzbekistan, doesn't matter. Or you can think of it even, you can integrate all those separate forces, all those separate markets, into a global market and map its growth, which will only be a product of integrating all those different sine waves, Fourier transform style, into a integrated single waveform. If you, so you've got F for forces, market forces, whatever it is, manipulation through physical means, or rapid commodity yeah. expansion. That's your forces, fiscal mm-hmm. profit, fiscal controls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. M for your markets, as in the actual mm-hmm. the economy of a single entity, be mm-hmm. it a business, be it a person, be it a country, makes no difference. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. A in Newton's equation mm-hmm. is the growth, the acceleration that that force mm-hmm. creates. So mm-hmm. if you look at it in that terms, you have mm-hmm. a basic sine wave where the, mm-hmm. the natural forces wax and wane as the economy mm-hmm. shrink and grow over time. Mm-hmm. So that's the mm-hmm. natural rhythm, the long waves, if you like.
Yeah.
Then when money gets introduced to the systems, or a country has a gold rush, or it has economic expansions, yeah. or it goes to war, etc., has to rebuild, loses economic basis, things get amalgamated, they're your market forces. And as they change, they will affect that sinusoidal waveform, the long wave, to give you this, like the climate change patterns. You can still see the long wave within the curves, but you've got a chaotic distribution or a chaotic trend within those sinusoidal waves. So that's just a Fourier transform. That's not really any different than mapping the amount of energy, the changing energy in a EM wave. And when you look at the distributions, they boil all the way back down to Euler's formula. So depending again whether we're looking for the statistical outcomes or the statistical modeling of the inputs, we look at the energy, the scalar distribution of the components that contribute energy momenta to the forces, or we look at the square root string again to see what those forces create, how they affect that underlying long wave. So in that sense, if I'm understanding it right, we can simply use Newton's equation, F equals ma, re-term the letters to give us an economic model that we can then model the long wave, we can model market manipulations, and we can see the effects of inflation, perceived values of money as it's introduced to the system or created out of nothing with no fiscal base. But at the same time, we can show that the long waves are simply, if you like, the natural system, economic system of the globe, which is an amalgamation of smaller long waves for each country, person, etc., input. And we can model it. All we have to do is we have to work out a way to translate what Tetrionics does now is we put the triangle, I think I've got an illustration I'll send while I'm saying this. Each Planck quanta is a triangle of smaller triangles, each of which contributes a tiny amount of energy momentum to the overall triangular wave. So if we swap those little triangles for, say, fiscal inflation, or depreciation, or natural catastrophes, we work out a pattern within that larger triangle, and we assign values. We'd have to look at the overall effect. Obviously, inflation has a bigger effect than, say, a smaller economic boom in one town in a country. That's although that the economic boom contributes to all this growth. We look at if we assign it as a positive growth or a negative effect on growth, that's just up or down pointing energy momentum within the triangle. And that in turn, all those ups and downs within the larger triangle creates a final square root. I'm trying to find a picture here with all the little ups and downs for you. Of course, it's the one picture I don't have. Because that really summarizes how it works. I'll see if I can find one in due course. If we model these positive and negative market influences as quanta, we can model the triangle. We can then take the square root of it, which is the force that creates these, firstly, the basic sine wave, the long wave, but then as these plus and minuses change, they affect the length of that momentum, which of course creates all this jagged, chaotic waveform within the long wave. So that just brings straightforward physics back into it. All we have to do is find a way to assign values, if you like. We just create a huge spreadsheet and we assign a number from 1 to 1,000, which indicates the amount of impact any input has on the system. So we find the biggest the one that would rock the system, say economic collapse, and we give that a negative 1,000, as opposed to a sudden discovery of massive oil reserves plus 900. We then import them in, and that'll give us the curves. Then all we have to do is apply that assignment of plus and minus values, develop it, and assign it to existing data that we have on economic growth over a period of time, and see if we can produce those same curves that the share markets had. And if we can start to do that, then we've got a model in the most raw sense, where we can say, well, here's the existing system. That's where it is at this moment. And then we start modeling in real time these inputs, just as the stockbrokers do, and the future traders, more importantly. It's the same as future trading. We look at the positive and negative influences. We model it as a force, and that gives us a predictor of where the stock exchange or the economic cycle is going. So I can see a strong link there in that respect. I would argue that your comment about shortened cycles is akin to dampened sine waves, a bit like Boscovich's explanation of gravity wave or gravitation. Again, I can find an illustration on that somewhere. Just modeled the sine waves as a dampened EM wave or a dampened sine wave. So we can do all those mapping. We just have to assign values to the force or the quantum, if you like. Quantizing market forces.
Quantizing market forces.
That's I'd like to connect up to that. One of my friends was the guy who actually created the econometric system for the United States of America, and where he was working on the econometrics during the weekdays. The weather guys were doing the calculations over the weekend, and he discovered later that at night the physicists were calculating the atomic bomb on the same calculations on the same computer, basically using the same equations. So there must be a way to translate from economics, just as Calvin already said. And what I'd like to try to do, because Stephen, you said that you had a limited time. According to the time indication that you gave, we would have around 5 minutes before we might need to round off. Is that correct?
Yeah, 5-10 minutes. Is not, I said around, yes.
Okay.
That's just correct.
Because then I can imagine that what Calvin suggested, what this friend of mine in America did, is that we can look in terms of large sets of parameters and equations and to translate that back to the physics and translate that back to the tetrionics. But I can also imagine that, and this would be something for you, Stephen, maybe you could define economics rather from the perspective as you're looking at it, and as you also described it in the book, connecting it to the ethics and the aesthetics, and the human values. So that we, in a way, go a bit further away from the quantized physics, the quantitative physics, to the qualitative values in society. There Stephen, you would probably be best able to describe what you would be thinking of. For the continuation of our explorations in these conversations, what would you ideally like to see covered in quantum economics? Because you're already away from the traditional calculation of stock exchanges. You're already connecting it to the ecology and the biology, the sociology and our health. So would it be possible for you to describe what you would be looking for, plus give examples of the way you would like to see that?
Yes. So one thing is I've noted here is about the quantizing market forces. So it's one possible approach, quantizing market forces, but at the same time I wrote down here qualitative economics. That's good as a working title, qualitative. So as not quantizing market forces, not versus qualitative economics, but in relationship to these topics. So it's a quantizing market forces in relationship to qualitative economics. That's fine? Or do you think... okay, then I will do this, of course. And something like a paper, you think, no?
I think so, that we all have a good idea of what you're looking for, specifically that Kelvin can see what you're looking at and how you're looking at it, but also that other people can later follow our thoughts. That's also why we are recording it now, that they can sort of step in on a change of ideas of which we as yet do not know where it will be going. We only know that it will be possible to get it there. So that was might a request from my part. Kelvin, you might have a request from your part, what you would be ideally looking for in that what Stephen would like to have resolved. In such a way that you can best understand what he's trying to get at.
I just need to see what forces are at play, and what basically what wave what waveforms are produced, because then I can use as I've already touched on, I can see if I can develop a model. Where we can model the inert the quanta of the mass of the market, and by having these inputs we can also assign the values in such a way that it also predicts the market inertia, how markets will respond, and how fast to differing changes, differing forces. Obviously, the larger we make the triangle of market inputs, the quantization, the more numbers and the more values, the finer tuned it is, and the more accurately it will start to predict. But in a rough sense, we should be able to spit out something in a model fashion that even in the basic outline should start to map the waveforms that are seen. And the more input, the better refined it is, the more accurate it'll be. Obviously, we build it up on historical data, and then eventually we get round to trying it in real time, next to real time circumstances, but that requires input of market information, etc., so far as the economic drivers. But I see a real link there.
Before it comes back to you, Stephen, can I just add two terms which I discovered in my approach are very fundamental. Kelvin, you already know of them. The one is system theory and the other is dimensional analysis. In what Kelvin already said, it is essential to look for the forces as different from the masses that are moved by the forces. You can detect the motion of the masses, but you want to understand what forces actually induce that. And in dimensional analysis, there is this possibility to transpose what is used at one level to the other, and that's also taken into account in system theory. So in system theory, it's possible to make a, say, differential equation model, and it doesn't much matter if you're working with weights carried by cranes, or if there's volumes of water pumped by hydraulic pumps, or if there are electrical currents moving by flow potentials. Because in system theory, you can see that you can actually exchange the mass, say the material form on the one hand, versus the material form of the other, as long as you see how it connects up to the forces at the other level where we cannot see it, which is something which tetrionics very nicely brings into the picture. I get the impression that we get close to the closing off time for you, Stephen. Would it be practical if we just each formulated what we would consider to be the next best step to go? For me, I already asked you, Stephen, to formulate what you are looking for, because in this way you are our rudder or the engine for where we're going.
I will formulate it. I have, I think it something like the title will be sustainable economic science, or something like in search of a sustainable economic science. One main direction of research will be this quantizing market forces that Kelvin said. This may be possible to model with this theory. Then I will elaborate on qualitative economics, why we should think also about in qualitative dimensions. And for this, I will also apply system theory and your dimensional analysis. So I will include that into this, that text or paper.
Okay. What? How could we help you on that? What could we contribute so that we can get prepared for the next step?
I think the for what I found out in adult education is that the best thing is a visual model. So it's something like how can we model that visually? If I have whatever I try to educate, it was always if I had a good visual model, I could bring it over. So this is, I think, what you could help me in trying to create such a visual model.
Okay, Kelvin, what would your ideal wish be for the next step of our exploration? And how can we help you therein?
I think I've got a fair grasp on where it's heading. Probably the best thing you can feed me is just basic information. Things like long waves, I could have searched for that for years before I stumbled across it. And the economic theory is not my strong point. The physics and the visual modeling is. What I can do to help you, Stephen, I can draw up a couple of illustrations specific to this discussion where I'll draw, for example, quick thoughts, a split page. One side will be the physics, force, inertial mass acceleration. The other side will be market forces, market growth. And you'll be able to relate the physics side back to the economic side. And you'll start to see how the economic modeling can come out of tetrionic theory, but if you feed me the sort of curves or information about the types of distributions, so that I can then dig them up and research on them and get my head around it, that'd be appreciated. Because otherwise, it's like physics, 4 or 5 years of reading a whole heap of stuff just to find that one little gem of information.
I will compile information that will be accessible.
Ultimately, it's you, Stephen, that's driving it. You're telling us what you need and what you need to see out of it, all I'll do is apply my modeling and see if we can't develop a physical model that explains things.
So I would compile
it more efficiently than math.
I will compile such a, not only a text, but there will also be links to articles, or even maybe I can copy this thing from this American authors here, Barry and Dean. There are a lot of also geometric figures inside, so this maybe would even inspire you. Like, they have the, all the cycles. Yeah, this, there are also a lot of geometric figures here, and it will be for inspiration for you, because they are also using triangles, for example. So I will compile such a paper with links, and you can look into that, and there you will find also all these cycles that the literature, the normal literature is. There are about five different types of cycles, and they are all mentioned.
I know. So
I will.
Wonderful. Yeah. So, Stephen, you know what we're looking for. Kelvin already understands that's about the general principle. As he already said, the better you can indicate what you're looking for, the more easily he can find what Tetrionics provides in the way to understand that. And from my side, I really enjoy that we can have these conversations. I have no specific wishes or desires of what needs to be done for next time, except setting a meeting. And I think that Stephen, you will probably know best when you will have time for that.
I will for 3 weeks about Beyond Travel for a consulting tour, and in end of June I can be back to you. So in end of June I will be able. I can write a notice, and then I'll be back to you, because where I will go, it will be difficult to Skype
Okay.
I will not always have an internet connection, and so it's Southeastern Europe is difficult to travel.
Okay, and, we'll get message from you.
Yes.
Then I suggest that we end the recording here. Yeah. And I'll come back to you in a moment.
Okay.